The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to
the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love you.
All right, welcome everybody. We finally made it to the weekend. It is Friday, October 26, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and better than that, it's 11 days away until we legalize marijuana in the United States, in Washington, in Oregon, and in Colorado. It's 11 days away until we go from 17 to 19 medical marijuana states in this country, and we're going to be here bringing it to you, Marijuana Election Night 2012, right here at RadicalRust.com. Tune in Tuesday, November 6th, 4 p.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. Pacific. We're going to count down the closing of the polls from East Coast to West Coast, bringing you live reports via Skype from the people right there at the campaign parties as those election results come in. So check them out Tuesday night, November 6th, right here at RadicalRust.com. Also joining us here from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, we have our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. I imagine you've got all sorts of Halloween things coming up.
Yeah, next week I've got a lot of radio, intensive radio on Halloween Day, which I love. That's a great way to celebrate the holiday. So I'm looking forward to that next Wednesday. I'll probably do a lot of programming for that this weekend.
All right. Check that out at coastradio.org. You can hear Carrie there every week. And Carrie does our news headlines and the 420 headline news right after this first break. So what do we have today?
That's true, Russ. I sure do. Today, we're going to go to a new study that came out by the Marijuana Arrest Policy Project. I love those guys out of New York. They did a study in Colorado. I'll tell you what they found. Also, unfortunately, we have to report on a shooting at an Arizona dispensary that happened last night. But first up, we've got a landmark ruling that has the proponents clapping their hands and applauding this morning. I'll tell you about all those stories coming up on your 420 headlines today.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. And then after the headlines, we go behind the headlines. I'm going to take a look at a shocking story coming out of Meridian, Mississippi, where the United States Department of Justice is suing the school district over what's being called a school-to-prison pipeline. We'll take a look at that, and you won't be surprised at who it disproportionately impacted. Then, at half past the hour, we're going to get really deep into the I-502 controversies, and at 20 after, we got our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker tune. Herb Thrasher will be calling in, and for Halloween weekend, he's got us a tune from Ghoul. It's going to be a good one. Be right back.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
Hi, this is Melissa Etheridge, and I'm encouraging you to vote yes on Amendment 64. Because a few years ago, I was going through cancer chemotherapy, and I was suffering. The nausea, the pain, it was terrible. Prescription drugs were not helping. The only thing that allowed me to function and regain my strength was marijuana, and I'm grateful for the relief it provided me. You know, before I needed to use marijuana, I just accepted the laws that treat marijuana users as criminals. But it's funny how a serious illness can give you a new outlook on life. I now see that it's wrong to arrest adults for using marijuana, and it's even more wrong to allow gangs and cartels to profit from selling marijuana. Instead, we should allow adults to possess limited amounts of marijuana, and we should regulate marijuana sales in order to generate tax revenues for public school construction and other community needs. To me, regulating marijuana is simply the right thing to do. Please vote yes on Amendment 64, paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like...
We are, each of us, a multitude.
Wow, I'm suddenly feeling wasly fungible.
But isn't the sharp line dividing humans?
Or maybe fungibly wasy.
It's a very wasy line. It's a very wasy line. It's getting wasier all the time.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
We find animals doing things that we, in our arrogance...
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news with news editor Carrie Gallagher.
Southern California has been the front lines in the battle over medical marijuana dispensaries in California. Proponents, though, are claiming a major district in the 4th District Appeals Court this week. On Wednesday, they handed down a unanimous decision in what is being held as a landmark ruling that marijuana collective members do not have to be actively involved in the cultivation of the collective's marijuana. The case centered around Jovan Jackson, a San Diego dispensary operator who was convicted of possessing and distributing marijuana in September of 2010. Jackson was being tried in a state court, but was refused to mount a defense based on the state's medical marijuana law that goes back 15 years. During his trial, Judge Howard Shore, who would not allow that medical defense, kept referring to cannabis as dope, and he called the 1996 California medical marijuana law a scam during the trial. Americans for Safe Access appealed that decision and represented Jackson in court. Marijuana advocates are also applauding an addition that was added in the ruling, quote, "The collective or cooperative association required by the act need not include active participation by all members in the cultivation process, but may be limited to financial support by way of marijuana purchases from the organization," unquote. San Diego Superior Court will now have the option to retry the case if they so choose, unless the state Supreme Court chooses to intervene. Over 100 cooperatives have been shut down in San Diego following raids and landlord threats in an operation led by District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis and U.S. Attorney Laura Duffy. Police are searching for multiple suspects in the shooting of an employee at a medical marijuana dispensary in Tempe, Arizona, that happened last night. According to police reports, a group of 3 to 6 men entered the AZ Go Green co-op around 7 p.m. and confronted an employee. They then punched the employee and shot him and fled on foot. The victim, a so far unnamed man in his 30s, is in the hospital currently with life-threatening injuries. Police are investigating the crime and have not decided a motive in the case, since it does not appear that property was removed. Police did say that the business, which has opened recently, was the subject of a Drug Enforcement Administration investigation. Arizona has several dispensaries that have opened since their 2010 medical marijuana law was passed, but they are all outside of the law as the permitting process continues for those that are playing by the letter of the new rules and regulations. Several dispensaries have completed the state's registering process and will hopefully open by year's end. The state has taken in over $9.3 million in medical marijuana patient and dispensary registration fees since beginning that program. And a new report was released today that shows the effect of marijuana prohibition on minority communities in the state of Colorado. The report was done by the Marijuana Arrest Research Project, and it looked at Colorado marijuana crime arrests going back 25 years. Over 210,000 people were arrested for a marijuana crime in Colorado since then. More than half of those arrested were arrested in the last decade, showing a sharp increase in arrests from 4,000 arrested in 1986 to 10,500 arrested in 2008. Since the state goals of marijuana prohibition is to decrease the use and availability of marijuana, the extra show of force has not changed the use or availability of marijuana. People under the age of 34 made up a whopping 86% of those arrested, with 69% of those arrested under the age of 24. Marijuana arrests are the gateway into the criminal justice system for otherwise law-abiding young adults. The report says that although young African Americans and Latinos use marijuana at lower rates than young whites, in the last 10 years, Latinos were 1.5 times more likely to be arrested, and young black men were arrested at 3 times the number of young white men. Even though blacks make up only 3.8% of the population in Colorado, they are 10.5% of the arrestees. Latinos are 19% of the state's population, but they make up 25% of the marijuana arrests. The Marijuana Arrest Research Project began in New York City to study race and police policies that were leading to the higher arrest rates of minorities in large cities. For more information, you can check out their website, marijuana-arrest.com.
Thank you, Carrie. We also want to remind folks that the election is coming very quickly. Tuesday, November 6th, we'll be covering Marijuana Election Night 2012 here from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure to check it out. Carrie Gallagher will be in Denver covering Amendment 64. I will be in Seattle covering Washington's I-502. And that's our 420 headline news for today, Friday, October 26, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. Coming up next, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a Department of Justice lawsuit over the school district of Meridian, Mississippi, for operating a school-to-prison pipeline. Stick around. This is The Russ Belville Show.
Federal law enforcement officials speak out about Initiative 502.
We know firsthand that decades of marijuana arrests have failed to reduce use, and the drug cartels are pocketing all the profits.
Initiative 502 brings marijuana under tight regulatory control. 502 generates new revenue for education, healthcare, and prevention.
And if 502 passes, we'll have more resources to go after violent crime. Join us in voting yes on 502.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily Toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday,
Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher,
Electric Tuesday, Irie Wednesday,
Summer Ganja Planta, Call Me the Ganja Planta,
Groovin' Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday. Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is 15 after the hour, and we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a pretty shocking story being reported by CNN and the Huffington Post over the school district in Meridian, Mississippi. Federal civil rights lawyers have filed a lawsuit over what they call a school-to-prison pipeline that jails students for days at a time for minor infractions without any probable cause hearings. According to the American Bar Association Journal, the policy mainly affects black students and students with disabilities. As I look through this story, it's pretty shocking. What they were doing here is they were operating a system where kids, if they got any sort of minor sort of violation of the school's rules, would be sent off 80 miles away to Rankin County Youth Detention Center and denied their constitutional rights. And some of the things that these kids would get busted for, they'd be handcuffed and arrested in school, incarcerated for days at a time without any sort of probable cause hearings, waiting more than 48 hours for a hearing in violation of their constitutional rights, forcing these kids to make admissions to formal charges without being advised of their Miranda rights, and routinely not granted legal representation during the juvenile justice process. Now, of course, they find that about 86% of the school district's kids are African American, but surprise, all of them referred to this court for violations were minorities. Yeah. And this has come 2 months after the Justice Department has warned these state and local officials that they had 60 days to cooperate or face this federal lawsuit. They didn't cooperate. And they're the only district so far that's been called out on this that is not cooperating. There was a similar situation going on in Shelby County, Tennessee, but they've been fully cooperative with the Justice Department. In Meridian, Mississippi, they've decided not to cooperate. Now, some of the things that could happen for some of the infractions, right? What are the punishments for these kids that are happening? I mean, are we talking about kids that are, you know, setting fire to the school? Are we talking about kids that are getting in fights and bullying other kids? No. Check this out. This is in the lawsuit itself. Students can be incarcerated, right? Incarcerated for dress code infractions such as wearing the wrong color socks or undershirt, or for having shirts untucked. You can be incarcerated for tardies, for being tardy, for using vulgar language, for yelling at teachers, and going to the bathroom or leaving the classroom without permission. And my favorite, my favorite thing that they're locking up young black kids in Meridian, Mississippi, without probable cause, without juvenile justice representation. It's just unbelievable. Flatulence in class. Flatulence in class. Now, a lot of these kids, they end up on probation, right? And when they're on probation, if they get another school violation, that can be grounds for suspension, and a suspension they would have to serve incarcerated in the juvenile detention center. Little black kids farting in class, we're going to send them 80 miles away from their school. 80 miles away to serve in a juvenile detention center where it's going to be a big hardship for their families to try to go visit them. This is the kind of incarceration nation that we're turning into, where the first thought on any sort of behavioral discipline that we want to do is to lock people up. Let's warehouse them. Let's lock them up. And we are seeing this creep of this police state going into our schools. It started with the drug testing. Oh, we'll just drug test the athletes for the safety's sake. Oh, now we'll drug test all the kids on all extracurriculars, but we'll just do it in high school. No, now let's drug test the middle school kids. We got kids that are 11 years old being pee tested to see whether they can play viola in the school orchestra. And now this furthering creep of the police state has reached into Meridian, Mississippi, where we're deciding to just take the justice system we've already got for African Americans out in the real world and bring it into the schools. Let's just bring it into the schools here and discriminate against these kids, find ways to get them into the juvenile justice system, ship them 80 miles away from their homes. It's just despicable. And many experts, according to this story in the Huffington Post, have attributed the school-to-prison pipeline to zero tolerance policies, a holdover from the war on drugs that punish all major and minor rule infractions equally, bringing police disproportionately into high minority schools. Yep, folks, whenever you're talking to someone out there in the world and they don't care too much about the war on drugs because it doesn't affect them, they don't smoke weed, they don't know any smokes weed, why do they care? This is why they should care, because this sort of creeping police state has been incubated in the war on drugs, and now it is being proliferated all throughout all measures of our society, from our workplaces to our schools. Enough is enough. Well, I tell you, if I would have gotten suspensions for flatulence in class, I don't know that I'd have ever graduated junior high. Oh, we'll be right back with Rockin' Friday and Herb Thrasher. Stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that amotivational syndrome. Music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, time for us to rock on this. Well, it's Halloween weekend for, I guess, the adults, right? The kids are going to go out on Wednesday, next Wednesday on Halloween Day. But I suppose for the adults that are going out to party, tonight is the night, this weekend is the weekend. So we're going to bring you all sorts of great Halloween-related music here on RadicalRust.com. Hoping Herb would be calling in, but he's at work, so he might have been called away for, you know, salary reasons. But he got me a song for today on our Herb Thrasher Rockin' Friday, and it's from Ghoul, and the song is called As Your Casket Closes. So sounds perfect for Halloween, doesn't it? I don't know anything about the band Ghoul or anything about the song, so we'll let the song speak for itself. But just to remind you, this weekend we have got our music blocks, all of our music shows will be replaying. And if you didn't catch last night's Big Daddy Fink Funky Roller Rink, it was also a Halloween edition, episode number 666. I caught a little bit of it. I saw a little bit of Blackula in it, and I saw a little bit of Michael Jackson's Thriller, so I know it's a good one. That'll be replaying along with Herb Thrasher Flower Hour and Red Eyes Reggae Flashback and the Viper Hour this weekend, starting at 9 p.m. Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. You can catch all those shows back to back, so turn them on and enjoy the tunes. And speaking of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, tonight there will not be a new episode of Herb Thrasher. I will be out at a Halloween party playing music with my band. I will try to stream it if possible. We'll see if we can get some internet connection and bring you some live music from Tigard, Oregon. And then tomorrow night, Saturday night, we're all out at Halloween parties as well. So no new Herb Thrasher this weekend. We'll be back next weekend with more great rock and roll from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Also, if you want to check out Herb's interviews with various musicians, his backstage interviews, his on-bus interviews, and some of the live concert footage that he's put together, plus archives of all the Herb Thrasher Flower Hours, you can go to youtube.com Herb Thrasher. That's right, youtube.com/Herb Thrasher for all those videos. All right, let's get to it. This is Ghoul with As Your Casket Closes. Our ballots came in the mail today. I can't wait to cast my vote for Measure 80.
Measure 80? Is that the one to legalize marijuana? I don't know about that.
Why not? Marijuana is far safer than alcohol.
I know that, but I worry about kids smoking pot.
It's easier for kids to buy pot than beer because clerks check for proper ID.
Sure, but what about stone drivers?
We've had medical marijuana for 14 years, and yet our traffic safety stats are better now than before medical marijuana.
Okay, but what about people coming in stoned to work?
Come on now, honey. Oregon's workplaces are safer than ever, and we have over 50,000 medical marijuana patients. Nothing about Measure 80 prevents employers from maintaining drug-free workplaces. I know change is scary, but Oregon really needs jobs and tax revenue, and Measure 80 will provide them.
Okay, safer for kids and tax revenue for our state? Makes sense to me. I'm voting yes on Measure 80.
Paid for by Oregonians for Law Reform, OregonLawReform.com.
Hi, I'm Cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's in osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weak.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called Cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal, because weed makes you stupid.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Let's face it. Smoking alone can be downright dull sometimes.
Hello?
But there's something special about Puffing the Magic Dragon with...
Puffing the Magic Dragon? How old are you?
There's something special about smoking with other people that really livens things up.
I'm fine, thank you.
But not everyone is a suitable partner. here are the five types of blazing buddies to steer clear of. The giggler.
And then he's like, and I'm like, and I, well, I'm like, I go in, and he's just like, huh? And I'm like, huh? And he's like, ah.
The conspiracy theorist.
And that's what I'm saying, man. It's like, we're all part of the system, okay? We're all puppets.
Like, Lady Gaga is an Illuminati puppet. You know what I'm saying? I watched all of her music videos, and there's at least 10 pentagrams in all of them. I really gotta show you this thing called Zeitgeist. It's gonna open your eyes, it's gonna open your brain, and it's definitely gonna open your third eye. Because we all have it, man. Bush lied, and people died!
The critic.
Okay, this is not bad. This is not bad.
But, yo, my boy, my dude, my man, he's got this real OG shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real good weed. That's not bad weed, but the weed that my dude, my boy, he's got much better weed than you. It'll make your face melt. It's like a birthday candle, son.
The hog.
Cause like, what is Lord of the Rings, you know? It's like, it takes place in Middle Earth, you know? Is that like our Earth's core? Or is it like the an alternate universe where like our Earth is in between two Earths? Oh, that's really good. I gotta write that down.
And finally, the worst cannabis companion of all.
Where do you come up with these names?
The non-smoker.
Nah, thanks. I don't smoke. Well, I used to smoke. I used to smoke a lot, actually. In high school, I every day I would wake up and I would toke up. But now, I don't know. Now I kind of like just enjoying the fresh air. And that's what gets me high. It's like a good day. Like a good day with like just like a sharing a laugh with a friend. That's what gets me high.
Serious? This guy's not even smoking.
And there you have it, the five worst marijuana muchachos.
All right, why are you doing this to me?
Look, you could smoke weed. I'm cool with that. I just don't smoke.
Get the hell out of my house!
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, here we are on the Friday before the election. What is that, 11 days away before we get to vote? And we are so blessed out here in the Pacific Northwest to have our states voting on marijuana legalization. Washington State has I-502. Oregon has Measure 80. Of course, in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado's got Amendment 64. And it would be so beautiful to have three up and three down to get marijuana legalized in all three states. But we need to recognize some realities. And that is, if it were just up to us voting for marijuana legalization, we could pass anything we like. But we also have to get all the rest of the people, who are afraid of marijuana legalization, who've built up stereotypes and misgivings about us and our herb. So we have to understand that some compromises have been made to try to get better polling and have a better chance of passing marijuana legalization. This, of course, is the controversy that exists in the state of Washington at this moment, as of the three states that are trying to pass marijuana legalization, it is consistently polling the best. It is getting large majorities in just about every demographic, and a lot of that can be attributed to some of the compromises made in the language. Some things that we in the cannabis community aren't so happy about. Those would be, number one, not including home growing, because the polling showed that the people of Washington would drop off the vote. The voting support would drop off if they didn't include home grow. And of course, the now legendary compromise of the I-502 per se DUID, the 5 nanograms of active THC in the blood. Now, I have been debunking this and trying to write as many pieces on this as I can to try to take every criticism and every rhetorical talking point and give people that support legalization and oppose prohibition ways to explain this to their friends who might have been misinformed, who might be harboring some doubts about voting for I-502. Today, I wanted to turn things over to another activist out there who I only know by the name of Paine, P-A-I-N-E, as in Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers. And this is on the GrassCity.com forums. And this is GrassCity.com, one of the most popular websites out there as far as online forums go. This person, Paine, mentions that over the last several months, he's been volunteering for Yes on I-502 and has heard hundreds and hundreds of people who had problems with this. He's been over in the forums and seen, you know, hundreds and hundreds of posts in the forums. And he kind of collected what were all of the criticisms and all of the problems that people on our side, people who say they support legalization but are going to vote against 502, people who say they want to end prohibition but are going to vote with the drug czar. He collected all of these and put them together. And I just wanted to go through some of them because it's nice to see someone else doing it for once and hearing the way that they frame some of these things. In fact, I'm going to steal some of these arguments because they're really, really good. Of course, Washington's I-502 would legalize the possession of 1 ounce of marijuana for personal recreational use for anyone 21 and over. The possession of 1 ounce of usable marijuana, 1 pound of marijuana-infused solids, and 72 ounces of liquid-infused products, that would be like about the same as a six-pack, would become fully legal at the state level 30 days after the passage of I-502. Now, one of the criticisms that the people will make on this is they'll say, it's not true legalization. This isn't true legalization. It's not really legalization because we can't grow all we want and there's limits on how much we can have and so forth. And this Paine, I think, has nailed it with the way he has expressed this. And I'll just read straight from his post because it's so perfect. I've never had so many silly semantic arguments in my life until I started volunteering in this campaign. For some people, legalization means completely untaxed, unregulated, smoke it wherever I want, grow as much as I want, and share it with my children if I want to, marijuana policy. It means the absolute end of all penalties, all regulations, period. Now, in my experience, Paine writes, legalization has always been distinct from decriminalization in the following way. When an activity is legalized, all penalties, criminal and civil, are removed. When an activity is decriminalized, criminal penalties are removed, but civil penalties sometimes remain. It can also mean that a state or municipality stops enforcing a law, though the penalty remains on the books. Some people say, it's not legal unless I can grow my own. Is hard alcohol legal? It is illegal to create your own hard alcohol. Some people say, it isn't legal unless I can have as much as I want. Is Sudafed legal? It is also subject to limitations on quantity. And in fact, if you purchase Sudafed, your name goes in a registry. There will be no such registry for users under I-502. Some people say, well, it isn't legal unless I can walk down the street smoking it. Are cigarettes legal? I think you get my drift. I-502 makes the possession of a small amount of marijuana completely legal under state law. That doesn't mean it's the end of the need for reform. We can continue to make progress as we win the public over and show them that the sky doesn't fall when you legalize it. We've come a long way, and we need to just keep pushing. Call it what you want. It's far better than the status quo. So, yeah, I really appreciated the way that he put that. Is hard liquor legal? Yeah, hard liquor is legal, but you can only buy it at the store. You can't make your own. There is no home brew for hard liquor, right? There's even limits on beer, homebrew beer, where they do limit to you to, what is it, 100 gallons, 200 gallons a year, something like that. I mean, everything has some sort of limits. Even the people that say we ought to treat marijuana like tomatoes ignore the fact that there's a lot of regulations on tomatoes. If you want to grow a large-scale tomato farm, there's some regulations there, right? And if you want to grow tomatoes in your garden for personal use, that's cool. But you start selling them, you know, even at the farmer's market level, there are some regulations that come into play. So the other argument that I hear on this is it doesn't really legalize anything. It doesn't really legalize anything because all the statutes will remain on the books that say it's illegal. It'll still be a Schedule I drug. There'll still be felonies if it's more than an ounce. All this stuff. And I find that kind of silly because the section in 502 comes up and says, you know, possession of this much amount, you know, the amounts listed, shall not be a crime under any Washington law. So, yeah, it's like having a law on the books that says it's a crime to have an ounce, and then having another law that comes on the books and says it's not a crime anymore to have an ounce. So, yeah, the first one may still be on the books, but it doesn't mean diddly because the second one supersedes it. Kind of like how the 18th Amendment of the Constitution said that prohibition of alcohol shall be the law of the land, and then the 21st Amendment made that null and void. People think when an amendment is repealed that it's erased. It's not. The 18th Amendment still exists as a part of our Constitution. It's just null and void. It just doesn't mean anything. Our Constitution still has parts in it that declare black men should be counted at 60% to determine representation in Congress. We still have stuff in the Constitution that says the state legislatures should directly elect the senators. But those were superseded by amendments, see? So that's it's a null and void semantic argument when you start saying it leaves all these other penalties still on the books. It'll still be a Schedule I drug. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Schedule I drug now. And in 1998, when Washington State passed medical marijuana, they made an exception. Actually, they didn't. You can still be arrested in Washington State. And that's another thing I-502 does, provides protection for those patients who might be having less than an ounce or less than a pound of edibles on them from being arrested. They can currently be arrested in Washington State. Also, what this does, and I think this gets to the heart of why some of the people who make money writing permission slips, doctors' permission slips to use marijuana, might be upset with this, is it will create fewer patients. It will create less need for patients to have to sign up, to have to lie to a doctor, do whatever they got to do to get a recommendation. When if they only need an ounce every now and then, they'll just be able to do so legally without having to pay for any sort of doctor's permission slip. So there's that aspect to it, too. So let me get to some of the other points that Payne makes on this. I've also tweeted out the address to this post. If you want to use it for reference, just follow @RadicalRuss on Twitter and you can find it. So how does I-502 affect patients? It doesn't. It does not touch the Washington State medical marijuana law at all, right? It does give them that arrest protection that I was just telling you about, because right now you've only got affirmative defense. Affirmative defense means tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge means hiring a lawyer and spending a lot of money, right? So these people that think they're all safe in Washington State because they've got a medical marijuana recommendation, just for the grace of a cop not being a jerk or a prosecutor not being a jerk, have you got that protection? If a cop really wants to push it and a prosecutor really wants to push it, they can take you to court for whatever marijuana they find on you, and then you got to show your Washington recommendation to try to get out of it, and that's time, and that's money you're going to spend to have to do it. With 502, arrest protection. Cannot be arrested, ounce or less, or a pound or less of edibles, or a six-pack or less of infused liquids. And we're all still wanting to find out whether or not hash oil becomes treated as an infused liquid or an infused solid. That will be very interesting. And there's Roscoe making sure no one breaks in. And the other thing that gets asked about this is, does I-502 affect what the patients can have? Because patients can have up to a pound and a half of marijuana. This does not affect them having that much at all. What it does, it makes it so up to the first ounce, can't be arrested. Up to the pound and a half, you're back to your affirmative defense. So it doesn't not going to make it so that patients can only have an ounce. You'll still be able to have as much as you've been having. I would recommend you don't leave the house with more than an ounce, but I'd recommend that right now. There's also the question of whether or not 502 would remove a patient's right to home grow. No, not at all. You still have your affirmative defense to grow up to 15 plants that you've been growing. So it doesn't change that at all. they talk about taxes and regulation. People want to know, will there be the current dispensaries that currently exist under under Washington state law? Will they still exist? Will they apply to the dispensary or co-op? No. The taxes and regulations that apply in 502 apply to people on the recreational side, the growers, the processors, the retailers. Collective gardens, as they're defined right now, operate under the medical marijuana law, and they are not touched by I-502. Very simple way to check this. In I-502, you will see references to marijuana producers, marijuana processors, and marijuana retailers. And that is defined in the law as the people involved in this statutory framework for the recreational side. In the medical marijuana law, the terms being used are designated provider and qualifying patient. Completely separate legal definitions. So it's not touching medical marijuana at all. Now, the other part about this, people complain about there being no home grow in the I-502. And I got a problem with that, too. I think we should be allowed to grow marijuana plants at home. But if the choice is we continue to arrest 8,000, 10,000, however many number thousand you want to say is the people that get arrested for an ounce or less in Washington state. Do we continue that? Do we continue the prohibition existing? Do we hand our opponents in law enforcement yet another victory? They've already had 8 times where states have tried to legalize and 8 times it's failed. Do you want to give them number 9? Or actually by 8 p.m. Pacific, it might be number 10 or number 11. You really want to give that? You really want to give them the opportunity to have the soundbite that, yes, people in polls say that they would legalize, but when it comes down to election time, people don't really want election, don't want marijuana legalized. I don't want to give them that. So, yeah, home grow would love to have it. But if you want to get home grow, is it easier to get home grow fighting for it as a criminal doper? Or is it easier to get home grow fighting for it as a legal consumer? I think it's easier as a legal consumer. I think 502 passes, marijuana becomes legal, people's attitudes toward it start to change, start to thaw on the issue. People start to realize it's no big deal. And then you start moving into where they can become more accepting of you growing a plant at home. I think we can do that. All right, so let's get to the meat of the issue, the one that everybody wants to talk about with 502. Does I-502 make it illegal to drive high? Nope. It's already illegal to drive high. Driving impaired by any drug is already illegal. It's already illegal to be out there with THC, active THC, in your bloodstream. And no, this does not mean you're going to get a DUI for weeks after smoking. I've heard some of the no people saying this. And they're all referring back to drug testing data that has to do with inactive carboxy THC, the metabolite that happens after you've been high and your body's processed THC. It becomes this. It becomes carboxy THC. And that is detectable for up to 30 days in some heavy smokers like myself. We're talking about active THC, active, active, active. And active THC is the ingredient that does cause the high. Okay? Now that stays in your system, is going to be metabolized within at least 1 to 4 hours. It'll get you below 5 nanograms per milliliter. And that applies to the vast majority of people that smoke marijuana. Now, for the people like me who smoke marijuana all the time, that level may be a little bit higher over the general period of time. But we are talking about active THC. This was chosen because we do have reliable scientific data showing that there's higher crash risks above 5 nanograms, that people are more impaired above 5 nanograms. And people are ranting about this, feeling like that something new is being introduced here, that somehow they've been driving now, and then after this, it will suddenly mean that they are DUIs and they can never drive again. In fact, there's a guy later on in the comments here. It's pretty amazing here. The guy in the comments says, the whole premise behind this bill is for the state to make millions off of thousands of increased DUIs every year. It allows law enforcement to collect a blood sample, and if there's 5 nanograms of THC in your blood, that's a DUI instantly. 5 nanograms is such a minute amount, you could not smoke for 2 days or longer and still have 5 nanograms in your blood. No, you will not. This is not happening. And by the way, if you got pulled over now and you had 5 nanograms in your blood, you're getting a DUI now. What people don't understand is that there's an entire process that's involved here in arresting someone, in trying to determine whether or not they're impaired. you have to first have a probable cause and be arrested under the suspicion of DUI. Requires that you exhibit objective signs of an impairment. If you haven't exhibited any of these any impairment during the stop and you're arrested anyway, no matter how high you are, that case is going to get dismissed by your good lawyer here. There are no such things as instant convictions. It's not the cop pulling you over, smelling weed, whipping out Wilford Brimley's diabetes tester, pricking your finger and then coming up, oh, it's above 5, throwing handcuffs on you and putting you in a prison cell for 5. It's not the way this works. This is not the way it works today. It's not the way it would work after 502. What this does is it creates a presumption that at 5 nanograms or higher, you are impaired. And that means the judge is going to turn to the jury and say, according to state law, this is a presumption of impairment. But there's still so much the lawyer can do in this situation. And the reason we know this is because right now we have a per se DUI statute for alcohol, 0.08. And the science behind 0.08 on alcohol is far better than the science behind 5 nanograms for THC. Alcohol does objectively impair people in a dose-dependent ratio and does pretty much leave people's systems at about the same rate, right? So all these, you know, blood alcohol charts, you drink this many drinks, if you weigh that much, is going to put you at this level, you'll be unsafe to drive. Pretty damn reliable, actually. We see this in the science behind this. And yet, with a 0.08 blood alcohol level, there are still pages and pages and pages in the yellow pages of DUI lawyers. See, why would those people, those DUI lawyers, have any sort of business if anybody at a 0.08 or higher, which is most people they see in their law offices, if a 0.08 or higher was an automatic conviction and nothing you could do about it? Obviously, there's things you can do about it. Obviously, there are defenses that can be done here. This idea also is that the prosecutor has to at least prove impairment in court. Now, under 5 nanograms, they only have to prove, after 502, they only have to prove that you're above 5 nanograms. And I want to refer back to what Payne wrote on this, because this is also a very good takedown of it. It's interesting that when I discuss this with people, they tend to have little to no faith in the justice system whatsoever. But suddenly at this stage in the argument, they're extremely idealistic about what it means to prove impairment in court. Here's how proving impairment goes down under current law. Under current law, the officer's report plus any amount of THC in the defendant's system is enough to prove impairment. Got it? Cop says he saw you being impaired. They take a blood test now, and any THC is enough to prove impairment. Cop said so, THC in the blood, impaired. And that's now. That's right now. To my amusement, I've even heard this acknowledged by opponents of I-502 in an effort to make a different point. 90% of DUI cases end in convictions, and my guess is that the rest are pled down. Currently, prosecutors and juries do not know or do not care how much THC in the blood may actually cause impairment. Prosecutors are currently winning convictions based on only an arrest report and carboxy THC alone, the metabolites. The vast majority of marijuana DUI cases are for less than 5 nanograms of active THC. There's a fair argument to be made that having a standard in place may actually reduce convictions, because in the majority of cases, defense attorneys will now be able to argue that their clients are under the legal limit. Exactly. Now, another part of this that Payne gets into really well, and you can check the link again through my Twitter feed, is I've heard people say I-502 lowers the threshold for what an officer needs to arrest you and what can be submitted on his report. No. They are reading Section 31, and they assume that that is new. When Washington State puts out bills, they have to put out the part of the bill that they have to put out the part of the law that the bill affects. So, like, even if you were just adding a paragraph at the end of something, you'd have to print the whole something that it was affecting. So when you're reading these bills, it's only the stuff that's underlined in boldface that's the new stuff. And all the stuff that's in regular typeface is what the law is now. Right now, an arresting officer needs probable cause to initiate an arrest in the first place. All right, we'll look at more of this I-502 nonsense and try to encourage people that maybe haven't heard or maybe have only been listening to the people who have a vested interest in the status quo and get them some of the truth. We need every vote we can. Let's get marijuana legalized in 2012. Let's topple the first domino in ending prohibition.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. See you in hour two. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Is a drag, it's a big, big drag. Set your mind on fire, make your organs sag. Coke is a joke, rather take a toke than be broken and a choking with your brain cells smoking. Tripping on acid makes you flaccid. DMT too rich for me. Heroin, aquarium, a nice pine box to bury in.